I do have a message. And I was just ready to say, I don't want to bring it because, man, I'm just lost in his presence with this music and I don't want to interrupt it. And I felt like the Lord said, we're going to do something very different and I don't know how that's going to work. I'm going to start to bring it, but I've invited them to keep playing and singing whenever they feel like it at the same time or back and forth. So let's see what God does with that. It's something new. Let's see how that goes. I'd like you to read Isaiah 56, 1 through 12, if you take a minute and find that and get yourself on a mic. We're going to talk about what pleases God. You know, I had mixed emotions while I was sitting there because I just felt the presence of God and he's drinking in the love and the worship and, oh my gosh, even the words of the songs that have been brought to us this morning. God's heart was just pleased. He was just thrilled. He was just basking in the love that we're offering to him. But at the same time, I felt his awareness of the people that he invited to come to church today that didn't come. And how his heart grieved for those that he's seeking and trying to bring to himself so that he can love them and know them. And they didn't come. And some of you that are here, that God is calling you, and you haven't come. God's the only, he's amazing. He can feel everything at the same time. We'd end up in a mental hospital if we tried that. He can be at the wedding by that beautiful bride, just thrilled, you know, father of the bride, all excited for his daughter getting married, and still be standing at the graveside as they bury a child. And he's weeping over the grief of them losing that child. He's grieving with Claudia because Claudia lost her father this week. Can I share your teddy bear a minute? And, you know, God is real. He's so real. He doesn't have the same pat answer for us every time we have a need. As the ministers were hugging her and comforting her and loving her, God said, somebody needs to go get a cushy, cushy, soft animal because I want her to take that home with her. And while she hugs that animal, I want her to know I'm holding her that same way. I'm comforting her and loving her, telling her I know how she hurts and I let my heart hurt with her. No one on this earth can hurt with you like God can hurt with you. You know, you can tell your sad story to a million people and you never feel any better. You can go out and tell your story of how you've been rejected and offended and wounded a million times. And you don't feel any better. But when you bring it to God, he's right there with you in it. Only God really understands what you're going through, what you need. Only God has the power to reach inside and heal you of everything. You know, I shared with you many times my abusive childhood and my hurts, and I didn't share everything, but, you know, get the inner healing tapes. There's a bunch of them. But there were things that only God could do, and he takes us back in time, and I was an unwanted birth. My dad didn't want me. My mom didn't want me. They fought over who was going to get stuck with me. My mom lost, and she got stuck with me. I had a vision where I felt that. I felt I was in the womb of my mother and I didn't want to come out. There was nobody there that wanted me to come out. But in that vision, there was God. And he was saying, come to me. I want you to exist. I created you. I want you to live. And he played with me and he loved me and he fathered me. He wanted me. No man on this earth had wanted me like that. He was my daddy. But it wasn't just a vision. It was real. It happened down in my spirit. It happened. I've never been the same. I feel I had the best dad in the whole wide world. I have the best daddy. And I still run to my daddy all the time. And he's there for me. He takes care of me. He protects me. He loves me. He heals me. God is real. He's real. We're not playing church here. You serve a real God. And he loves you. He wants you. He accepts you. But there's more. There's more than that. He's calling you. He created you for a purpose. You're not just here to make money and pay the rent. You know, we talk about being excited when you bring your offering, and it's like you just should run up here and say, God, I made some more money for you. You know, here it is. Do what you want with it. The only kingdom that matters is God's eternal kingdom. Nothing here matters. I know I got a big, beautiful house, and we have money. And like Apostle Paul, I've learned how to abound, and I've learned how to be abased. I've been in welfare lines. I've been in the soup kitchen. I've been poor. I've done without. And I've had money. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I beg God to get rid of my big house. And he keeps telling me I'm going to need it. You know, God is so real, he told me we're going to have a disaster. And I needed to go buy 50 blankets and 50 pillows and be ready. And food, stored up food, because 50 people are going to need to be rescued one day in this area. I believe him. Noah believed him when he built the ark. And he told people for 120 years it's going to rain and flood the earth. And they laughed at him. But on the day that it began to rain, God had shut the door. Now they're running to the ark because they see the proof. It's raining. Oh my gosh, Noah was right. Let me on the ark. It's too late. The door is shut.
Seek him before it's too late. Seek him while he may be found.
That was awesome. That was awesome. You ready to read Isaiah for me?
Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 through 12. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come, ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant.
Those are powerful words. Verse 4. God wants to make a covenant with you. You know what a covenant is? A covenant in Bible days was an agreement that you would cut your finger and like blood brothers, you know? We're going to make a deal here. We got some rules to the deal. It's like a contract. It's like an agreement. signed in blood. And God wants to make a covenant with you. That's what he's saying here. You know, toward the end of that chapter, it sounded a little harsh. God was rebuking watchmen, and he was rebuking shepherds. That's pastors. He said they're blind, and their eyes are not open. They're not taking care of the sheep. A lot of religion today is no longer about the sheep. It's about the preacher. Give me more money. You want to see the blessings of God. 365 days a year, then put $365 in the plate. I mean, they're fleecing the sheep. They're shaving them bald. It's not, leadership isn't about the leader. It's about the followers. Jesus said that if you want to be my minister, then you become servant of all men. You don't have a life anymore. It belongs to the people. It belongs to God for the people. It's not about how much you give. It's not about how much you do. But it's about becoming who you're created to be. He created you for a purpose. But to even find out what your purpose is, you got to come into the covenant. You got to come into the agreement with God. Because God has ways that are above our ways. Thoughts above our thoughts. And we need to leave our ways behind and choose his ways. We can't come into God's side and say, well, I'm here just to check it out. If I like what you got to offer, I'll make an agreement. He's already showed you what he's got to offer. Love, eternal life, a name. He said, if you come in this agreement with me, I'm going to give you a name. That's your character. That's your identification. I'm going to tell you who you are, what you're here for. You know those dreams you had when you were a little kid? You know, Scott, you're a dreamer. I hear about it from your wife. Scott's always cooking up all these dreams of things he's going to do. I love it when I hear that. You're a dreamer. Joseph was a dreamer. I'm a dreamer. But it's because God made you a dreamer. It's because, can I tell everybody what he said to you last week? He said, you're going to do things nobody else will do. You're going to do things nobody else will do. Because he created you to be different. He accidentally kicked his wife in the eye. Accident. You, every one of you, prophet. I can't remember that guy's name in your book. What's that guy's name in your book? Your character.
Samson.
No, the one you are, the one you relate to.
Oh, Aragorn.
Yeah, really? I thought it was the other one. Spectator or something.
Striker.
Strider. So I can't remember that because I didn't see the movie. Nobody else sees that when they watch that movie. That's calling you into your identity. He wants to give you a name, an identity, a purpose. He's already told you that. But you've got to come into covenant with him. You've got to come into covenant. In his covenant, there's some things that belong to his covenant. He said, number one, are you pleasing God? Do you keep my Sabbath? That is so big to God. So huge to God. His holy day. He gave us seven of them in a week. He asked for one back. He gives you all your money. He asked for one tenth back. Not because he needs your money. He needs your trust. Some things have a stipulation, a condition. You tithe, God blesses. Well, God said, honor my Sabbath. If you won't even give me one day of the week to be holy, how can I believe you really want to know me? How can I believe you even care about my ways if you won't even go to church on Sunday? And you know what? He wanted the whole day. It used to be Saturday, but in the New Testament, they began to meet on the first day of the week. Instead of waiting and giving God the last day, they gave him the first day of the week. But you know, in the Old Testament, on the Sabbath, they weren't even allowed. He was raining manna from heaven to feed the people in the desert. They weren't allowed to pick it up on Sunday. He said, on Saturday, I'll rain down twice as much. And on Saturday, make provision for your dinner on Sunday so you can give me all of Sunday. Do you know how hard it is to give God a whole day? I'm in a dreamer. I'm also an idealistic. So I'm going, I want to go on top of the mountain like Moses, 40 days alone with God, just me and God, you know? Well, now my husband's gone. I go home at night. I don't even like 2 hours alone in the house at night. I don't like alone. It's not fun. I pray, I read, I talk to God, I look at the clock, 30 minutes. It's not easy to give God a whole day. But it's His day. Show up for church. It's in the covenant. Honor my Sabbath. Show up for church. This is my way. Read my word. To honor His Sabbath means to guard it, protect it, honor it, make it a special day unto God. Be there. Worship when it's worship time. Pray. Take in the words that are spoken and make them your own. Number two, in choosing the things that please God, He's shown us some things that please Him. It's not hard to please God. It's really not. In Mark 12:30, gives us the greatest commandments in the Bible. And they are not go out and dig a ditch, paint a big building, work hard and pay more money. This is what God wants. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's the first commandment. And the second is like. Love your neighbor like yourself. You see, God wants you to love Him. And He wants you to love your neighbor. But you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself. The Old Testament says, what has God required of you? But to do justly and walk humbly with your God. He's not a hard taskmaster. You know, He does all the giving. Even the things He tells us to do, we can't do. He commands us to love one another. Can you command your heart to love someone? Can you even love yourself? He commands you to have mercy and forgiveness. Can you make your heart feel forgiveness? No. See, everything He wants of us, once He comes to live inside of us, He will do those things. He will transform us as we walk with Him. He will give us a heart that can love and take out that cold, stony heart. We can't do that. We can't do any of it. But we're invited to want it, to want His ways, to not want our ways anymore, to make a decision, a choice. And then God wants us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. You know, there's so much shame in our life. The devil talks us into doing something, and then he beats us up for doing it. He says, well, why don't you just do this? You know, why don't you just take that? You need the money, and they don't. Just take that $20, you know, and take it right out of the offering plate. God doesn't need it. So somebody steals that $20, and they go home, and they spend it. And then the devil comes back and says, what a worm are you stealing from God? You should hate yourself. He talks us into all our trouble and then beats us up for doing it. He hates you. And until you meet God, you're living in the devil's kingdom. This world, everything about this world, lust, greed, hate, anger, fighting, taking, stealing, hurting, abusing, molesting, all of it. It's the devil's kingdom. He's the prince of this world. See, to come into God's covenant is, I don't want that anymore. I'm going to lose that life. God, I want your ways. You're so good. I want you. I want your ways. But see, He is so good. He's pure. He's sinless. He's perfect. How do we come into a God like that? How do we come to know a God like that? Repentance. Repentance of our way. Turning to God, wanting His ways. The Bible tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He has to live in us for His mind to be in us. We have to go into His Word because the Word is alive. And as you read the Word of God, it will bring the life of God to where you can see it. You can think like God. You can change your thoughts. Even if you've met Him, you've accepted what Christ did for you. Because see, once you say, I don't want my life, I should keep putting the devil over there because the cross is over here. So that's the devil's side. This is God's side. And once you say, God, I don't want that life anymore. I hate the things I've done. I hate the things I do. I hate the way I think. I don't want it. Please forgive me. God is holy. Jesus came to take all your sin. So once you come into covenant with God, He's the one who's cut to sign in blood. He shed His blood to cover your sin. Only pure, holy blood can pay for sin. He made your payment with His pure blood. But those that trample under the foot of Christ, they're not really saved. You can't run in and say, oh, cool, you know, I'll just let the blood of Jesus cover all my sin. And thank you, Jesus. Now I'm not going to hell when I die. And now I'm going back over here and serve the devil. No. Repentance unto God. And then faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him your life. Then He washes away the sin. He moves inside of you to live in you. You know what I want, Hannah? In a minute, the blood song. I love that song. He moves inside of you. And He begins to change your heart. And He begins to heal. And He begins to change your thoughts. But you see, He wrote you a love letter. It's your Bible. And it's alive. And when you read it, it gets inside of you. If you read it every day, you start getting more spiritual. If you stay away from it, you begin to think like the devil again. So how much God do you want? Take Him in and let Him change you. Let Him transform you. Be renewed as you read His word. But you have to come into God, seeking first the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came preaching repentance. He came preaching kingdom of God to tell you the difference so you can make a choice. There's a lazy gospel today. Just ask Jesus in your heart and you get to go to heaven. No. Give God your life. Lay down your life. Choose God. Then Jesus will wash away your sin and come live in you to do the things you cannot do in transforming your life. A life that belongs to God, not you. Why? Why would we do it? You know, Jesus called. He called so many people. He called so many people. You know, He went into a city where there was a man full of demons. He ran around the graveyard naked, cutting himself. He was a lunatic, full of devils. Jesus cast all the devils out, healed the man, and then the city said to Jesus, please get out of town. We don't want you in our city. Why? Because He is light. People love their darkness, don't want the light. They get exposed. Ask Him to expose you. I want the light, Jesus. Expose me so you can wash it all away and I can belong to you. Come into covenant with God today. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is not just, Jesus, come pay my house. You know, my rent's late. Jesus, if you're so good, how come you don't do this for me? He's not your servant. We come to be His servant. He said, come, obey my voice. Choose me. Obey my voice. And then I will accept you as my people. I will be your father. Then you get all the benefits in God. When you choose Him and obey His voice and follow Him. Jesus said, I must suffer many things and be slain. And Stella's disciples followed Him. We will suffer many things. We might even be killed. You know, religion in America is not as free as it used to be. The world is coming against the church. Our freedom may be short-lived here. We may become like the third world countries where they cut your head off just because you're a Christian. There was just a shooting in a mall in Kenya, and they marched in there, the terrorists, and they took a bunch of people in a room, and they said, if you are Muslim, you can go. A few people stood up and left. The rest stayed, and they shot them and killed them. What are you going to do when you're in that crowd? Are you ready to die? See, to me, to die is gain. For to die is gain and to live is Christ. It's all about Jesus. So to go to heaven is just plus. Go ahead and shoot me. You're going to threaten me with heaven? Yay! No more work. Just go to heaven. Are you ready? Would you stand for Jesus? Or would you jump up and lie and say, I'm a Muslim, don't shoot? He's calling you. He's calling you. He created you. And the sad thing is, that life is so wasted. It's so wasted. The devil hates you. Hurt, rejection, anger, bitterness, death, and hell. That's the reward. God wants to tell you who you are. Release you into who you are and what you were created to do. Love you. Heal you. Transform you. Live with you. Pour his life into you. And then take you to a heaven for all eternity. Will you come into covenant with him today? Bring all your sin, because there's nothing that can pay for your sin, not your good works, not even your being very sorry, only the blood of Jesus. Will you bring everything? His blood is reaching out to you. He's calling you. But you have to come. Will you bring it all to Jesus today? You'll walk right up his path of blood to his cross. Thank him that he died for you and invite him to be your Savior and give him your life. Will you come this morning?
With you.
Shh. Maybe you're already in covenant with Him. Maybe you're even already a minister. He's calling all of us. Are we pleasing Him? Are we honoring His Sabbath? Are we into the Word? Are we loving? Are we walking humbly with our God? Are we loving others? Are we doing our ministry for our own name to be built? Or are we pouring our life out for those we minister to? Maybe you need to come back into covenant. Maybe you're already saved, but maybe we're not exactly living by our covenant agreement. Some of us need to come back.
All I need is, all I really need.
We're done, but then Hannah sang and confirmed something I was thinking. Where's our focus? You know, sometimes we're so caught up in what I'm doing for God, all about me, my ministry, what I'm doing, or what is anybody doing for me, what about me, what do I get out of this? The focus is Him. Is He our focus? It's all about Him. When our focus is on Him, He takes care of us. When our focus is on us, we lose Him. We can't see or hear Him anymore. So where's our focus? Is everything fair to me? What position am I in? What do I get to do? How good am I doing it? How bad am I doing it? Do people appreciate you? Just focus on Him. Just focus on Him. What do you want, Lord? How do I release what you want? How do I love you? It's all about Him.